Here's the 0-1. This is going to be a tough play. Bryant, the Cubs win the World Series. Bryant makes the play. It's over. And the Cubs have finally won it all.
No doubt about it.
Best Cubs postgame show. Back to True Blue Playoff Plus. Brought to you by Wintrust, the home of Cubs checking on 720 WGN.
All right. I can't believe I just heard that.
You and me both.
Nick DiGilio here on my show, and we're doing True Blue Playoffs Plus. All of our Cubs World Series coverage is sponsored by Wintrust, home of Cubs checking, and Sloan Water connects us. I'm joined in the 7th floor studio here, the Allstate 7th floor studio, where I like to do my show.
Love this studio.
It's great. And Andy Mazur and Adam Hoger here. Hey, guys.
Oh, Nick.
I think we're still in trying to figure out how this actually happened, because it just doesn't, it still doesn't feel real.
Yeah, no, I, you know, for people who have listened to the show, you guys know, mm-hmm. I've been a Cub fan my entire life.
Yep.
I grew up about 7 blocks away from Wrigley, right on Addison. And this is just insane. I didn't think I'd ever experience it. I don't know quite how to process it. I think that's what a lot of people are feeling right now. It's like, wait a minute, did they actually won the World Series?
I think Adam can probably sum up better how I reacted up here, because yeah. To tell you the truth, it happened so fast, I didn't even remember what I did.
You blacked out.
I mean, I hit the floor. I know I hit the floor.
Yeah.
But that's really all I remember. And I called my dad.
Oh, it's the first thing I did.
And my dad said, "What do you want?" And he's joking around, obviously. Yeah. And I was like, okay, you saw it too, right? It happened, right? I wanted to make sure I wasn't seeing something.
Yeah, no, I called my dad immediately, and it was just on the other end of the phone. All I heard was screaming. It was him and my mom, and he had neighbors,
yeah,
and I started crying, and my dad started crying. This is a long time coming. I mean, you know, 108
Amen.
Years and everything. Let me just say hello. I want to say hello to my showmates here, my great producer, Dan Shagru. Dan, how are you, buddy?
I'm all right. Things are good in this world right now.
Yeah, it's pretty unbelievable. And in the newsroom, way out of focus.
Yeah, what's going on with
Vic
that?
Vaughn, what happened to the kid? What are you doing,
isn't
man?
Isn't that an improvement?
What? I can't.
I'll get that fixed.
He was right. Jumping up and down during that call, so maybe he hit the camera.
Yeah. Is that what happened? Just the replay made you go nuts?
I was doing a little celebration up here, and yeah. I think I shook the newsroom floor a little bit.
Yeah.
But I'll work on that.
Okay, well, congratulations, Vic.
Congratulations, Nick.
All right. He came in here and gave me a hug when we first got here.
Nice.
He got here, he just ran into the room, gave me a hug.
I had to congratulate you. Lifelong Cubs fans, what a day.
Oh, man. And in traffic is Esmeralda Leon, who doesn't care.
Hello. I care. It's a good thing. Good for you guys.
Let me apologize, Esmeralda, for all the language you probably heard out the studio here when the game was going on.
No, I heard you passed out.
Yeah, I did. That's right.
Yeah, there's a moment of blackout. No, I'm
okay
happy
now.
For you guys. It was like a movie. I was watching it.
Oh, man.
You're just like rooting for them because you don't know what's going to happen. You're like, I want you guys to win.
Well, Carmen is in Cleveland, and he's working on trying to get some more interviews.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get him on, talk more with him. And we want to talk to you guys, too. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. The Cubs have won the World Series. So in addition to guys watching it up here, mm-hmm. what other thoughts did you have while you were watching the game?
You know, I was just hoping that it was going to end, you know, because it didn't seem like the game wanted to end.
Yeah.
I was cursing Joe Maddon's name a few times, for taking Kyle Hendricks out of the game a little too early.
When he pulled Hendricks, the thing about it is, one, I was like, what?
Mm-hmm.
But especially after that at bat, because he threw 6 strikes.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know, he walked the guy, but
he
threw 6
strikes. Yeah.
He did.
Yeah.
He totally struck him out.
Yeah, struck out. Nick, to be honest with you, I think we were talking about this a little bit earlier with the fact that people that aren't Cub fans don't get the fact how generational this whole thing is for everybody that's around here. And I was thinking about my grandfather who was born in November 5th of 1908.
Oh, is that right?
So he missed it by 3 weeks. Missed the World Series by 3 weeks. He's passed away in 1988. But first experiences I remember were going to Wrigley Field with my dad and with my grandfather. My grandfather would pull my brother and I out of school early in September to go to Senior Citizens Day when the upper deck was closed because there was only 7,000 people at the ballpark in 1976. And I went to opening day in 1985 with my dad. One of my best friends and his father. It's tradition that I don't think a lot of people get.
Yeah, it is. And it's, obviously there's the whole father-son thing that goes with baseball in general, not just
the Cubs.
But the thing is, you know, I'm an only child, so it was just me and my dad most of the time, or me and my parents. And, of course, on Ladies' Day, my mom would go.
Yep, my grandmother would take us on Ladies' Day, too, yeah.
Yeah.
My question to you guys is, when Cubs fans say all the time, I legitimately don't think they're going to win the World Series. Mm-hmm. Right? I never thought this was going to happen. Mm-hmm. We've heard that tonight.
Yeah.
Did you guys really believe that? Like, that it was never going to happen?
After, you know, I'm 51, man.
Yeah.
And after a while, it's like, you know, when stuff like, you know, 03 happens, and when stuff like 84 happens, and then, you know, even, you know, 07 and 08.
Yep.
And as far as I'm concerned, until this team, I thought the 08 team was the best team that they had ever fielded.
Probably was.
And I was so
talent-wise
convinced. Yeah. I was so convinced that they were going to win it. That was a real heartbreaker for me. Getting swept by the Dodgers was a real, I mean, that was like, all right, I'm done. So, yeah, I mean, you know, after all the years of just expecting it, hoping, you know.
Well, and let me say, my emotions are during this game, as maybe a more neutral observer, it really didn't happen until tonight, but I was right there with you guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, starting like the fourth inning, just this anxiety hit me.
Oh yeah,
and I know that the Cubs fans have been dealing with this every single night the whole playoffs, because I went through that in 05 and I completely understand it. I actually suffered a collapsed lung in September of that year because of the stress. That's a true story.
Is that right?
It's a true story.
Sure. About that.
Yeah, and so I get it. But that's how, just as a baseball observer, tonight's game was like one of the greatest games of all time.
It was one of the best World Series, period, ever in history. And the Cubs won it. Which is even better.
But that's how close we were to, like, the Cubs fans just say they really never thought this was going to happen. If they didn't win this one tonight.
Yeah, I know.
I totally understand that feeling, because it was right there.
I do want to say this. If they had lost tonight and if they didn't win, I posted on my Facebook page right before the rain delay.
Okay.
I posted, all right, look, win or lose, the Chicago Cubs have had an amazing, remarkable 2016 season.
Mm-hmm.
And they have also been part of one of the greatest World Series and most exciting World Series in history.
Yep.
And then I wrote, now win the damn game.
Exactly.
But if they hadn't won, I'd still be very unbelievably happy with this season. It was an incredible season, and they went to the World Series, which was step one. You know what I mean?
Getting over that first hurdle.
Yeah.
You know, this ending the 71. Now, the thing that I didn't mention earlier today that I'm most looking forward to going to Wrigley Field next year is seeing the all zeros on the Emis Patchouli sign.
I posted that on my Facebook page too.
All
nothing but zeros,
freaking zeros.
Yeah, exactly right. You know, Carmen is here. He's in. Mark Carmen is here. Hey, Mark.
Nick,
what's happening, buddy?
I'm so proud of you.
You're proud of me?
Yes. You put out a lot of Cubs stuff on that Facebook.
Yeah. And, yeah, well, you're proud of me. I was the one who told Madden to take Hendricks out. So
not proud of you anymore.
What's it like out there, Carm? What's going on?
It was really cool coming out and seeing all the Cub fans. I mean, I don't know. There's 20,000 people standing there after they won, and the rain hadn't fallen yet. By the way, I'm getting feedback coming back at me. Whatever that means. Sorry,
we're going to work on that. Well, hold on.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Stand
but
by.
It was incredible just seeing that sea of blue after the game.
Yeah, you know, you could hear it
You
know, watching it on TV. I mean, it felt at times like a home game.
You know, you couldn't tell. I mean, if you weren't watching it on TV and you were listening, you know, in your car to the broadcast, it was, you would know when a home run went out of the ballpark who hit it.
Yeah.
I went walking down in the eighth. That's when everyone was drunk and the Cubs were winning and Cleveland wasn't happy. They needed a lot of security, like a lot.
Yeah. So we've got some of your interviews that we're going to play. Mark,
awesome.
What has it been like for you personally? How did you feel when you watched the game and talked to a lot of the people afterwards?
I mean, it was joyous, right, for most of it? Mm-hmm. And then it was death. And then we survived.
Yeah.
And I guess for me, right when they won it, Kevin Powell was filming, and I felt the wave of emotion fly in. And then going down, these guys were just level-headed, celebrating. I can't describe it other than a lot of proud people in that room.
Yeah. Yeah.
And normal. I mean, Rizzo was just standing there talking, having a beer, having regular conversation. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like you saw a ton of tears from these guys.
Yeah.
So, they just enjoyed it.
Yeah, as I think everybody obviously enjoyed it. All right, listen, we're going to take a break, okay? Carm, hang on.
Thanks, Rick.
All right. Carm's going to hang on. Adam's here, and Andy is here as well. It's True Blue Playoff Plus and all the Cubs World Series coverage sponsored by Wintrust, home of Cubs checking, and Sloan Water Connects Us. We'll take a quick break here, guys, and then we will come back and talk more. And if you guys want to jump in, the Cubs have won the World Series. If you want to say anything or talk about it, 312-981-7200. Oh, I also want to mention that in the last hour of the show, mm-hmm. I'm busting out the Pat and Ron Show highlight reel.
And you should.
I don't know, for people who haven't been listening, I used to do a thing called the Pat and Ron highlight reel, which had the late, great Ron Santo, who is dancing in the air and clicking his heels.
Amen.
And Pat Hughes, when they were broadcasting here on GN, and we would play highlights. People would listen to the games every day, listeners, and they would send in and say, hey, this part is hilarious, or this segment was really funny. Because Pat and Ron in the booth, nothing was like it. You were there, Andy.
Yeah, I lived it. It was a lot of fun. And I tell you, two really good guys, and I said this earlier, I'm so happy for Pat. It's every broadcaster's dream to call your team winning the championship, and especially the Cubs teams that he has had to follow. And we saw a lot of bad baseball in my time here and in his tenure, and it's I'm so happy for him.
Yeah, he's a pro. He's one of the best. Mm-hmm. But with him and Santo in the booth, it was magic.
It was a show among itself. It was the Pat and Ron Show.
It was absolutely right. And so we used to do this Pat and Ron Show highlight reel, and I've got the best of the Pat and Ron Show highlight reel.
I can't wait to
because, hear these. Because they're hilarious, it's great, and it is absolutely appropriate.
You're going to make me cry again today.
On the night after the morning after the Cubs win the World Series, that we hear Ron's voice, you know, doing what he did when he was here.
Needed.
Okay. That's coming up later. That'll be after 4 o'clock. All right. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for any and all of your comments. We're talking about the Cubs winning the World Series. Mark Carmen is in Cleveland. We'll have a bunch of interviews and more. And Andy and Adam are here with me as well. It's Nick DiGilio here on WGN.
Ross flies one into center, sends Davis back at the wall.
Plus, from Wintrust, home of Cubs checking, on 720 WGN.
Grandpa.
Not too cool a moment, huh?
Grandpa knocking one out of the park. Hey, everybody, Nick DiGilio here, and we've got extended True Blue Playoff Plus coverage here, and all of our Chicago Cubs World Series coverage is sponsored by Wintrust, home of Cubs checking, and Sloan Water Connects Us. Adam Hoge, Andy Mazur are here live in studio with me, hanging out. And we've got people on the line if you want to call in. The Cubs won the World Series last night. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. And Mark Carmen. Carm is in Cleveland, live in Cleveland. Hey, Carm.
Hi, Nick.
How's that echo doing? Are you okay?
Much better.
All right. See, we have engineers that rule. That's the deal. So we got some interviews, Carm, that you did. And we're going to play some of this stuff back. And let's see. Dan, can we play the first one? This is you're interviewing Schwarber at this point here.
That's okay.
Yeah. Do we got it?
Schwarber's just a quick cut.
Oh, it's a quick cut. Okay. We're having a little issue with the computer.
Jump in.
Oh, okay. Didn't work. Well, tell me a little bit about what you how
good job, Carm.
Great interview.
Way to go, Carm. One of the best you've ever done.
That might be my top.
Strong work, Carm. Really.
Yeah. Kyle Schwarber. He I guess I'm still getting the feedback. Kyle Schwarber was a very happy Kyle Schwarber, but so level-headed. I can't really say anything other about that guy that when he got the single in the 10th and he pointed the dugout, I'll always remember that.
Okay, hold on. Hold on, Carm. We got it, I think. Here we go.
Do we have it?
Reagan in this organization, the never quit attitude, the high character guys, it just trickles down from the top to the bottom, you know, with the front office, to our owner, to our manager, to our staff, to the players, everything. I can't ask to be on a better team, more organization.
Ready for a parade?
What?
Ready for a parade?
Hell yeah.
Ready for a parade.
Yeah, yeah, baby.
Yeah.
We're all ready for a parade, I think. Yeah, that's great. And what a story with this guy. I mean, is this not an unbelievable – I mean, to add to the insane season that the Cubs had, this magical, unbelievable season that the Cubs had, this guy's story.
Yeah, Carm, I don't know how you felt about this when he came up in the 10th, but I really thought he was going to hit a home run. Just the way it was going. I thought he was going to hit the home run. The
thing I like about Kyle Schwarber is he's not afraid, right?
Yeah. None of these
guys
were.
Every time he comes up there, he just stares you down. That guy's going to hit a winning batting title, might win a home run title, the whole thing.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it just adds to the mystique of what happened during this season, because it was just a really amazing season. So, yeah. All right, let's you know what we got to Carm, hang on, okay? We're working on the audio here, okay?
My man.
Hold on, buddy. All right. We'll hang on and we'll see what's going on. But we got people who are calling in here. If you want to call in, it's 312-981-7200. And we've got some callers coming. Look at this. It's my friend Chaz.
Hey, he's got me.
Chaz, how are you, man?
How are you, Nick?
I'm great, man. How are you? This is Chaz Verba, who I worked with at the Factory Theater for many years. He's an amazing guy, an incredible sound designer, and one of the biggest Cub fans in the world. How are you holding up, man?
Nick, this happened. It happened.
I know.
I'm in a car on Southport driving from a gig that I had where I had to run audio for the game.
Yeah.
And this is the most amazing, and this might eclipse the 85 Bears in my book, my man.
Yeah. I can't believe it, man. I can't believe it. And you know, we've talked about this for so long, and, you know, I've known you for many, many years, Chaz, and the fact that the Cubs won the World Series is just incredible. Where were you? You were at the gig. Did you get to see the game?
Yeah, I had to run sound. I do a bar DJ gig where I run audio for the game and play videos during the commercials, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Are you wearing your Mickey Moore and D.A. jersey right now, Nick?
Am I wearing my Mickey Morandini jersey right now?
He absolutely is.
Yes, I am. It was, and
awesome.
And Chaz, you know the story. When I had Morandini on my show, when I interviewed him, I said, you know, I got a Mickey Morandini jersey. And he said, well, that makes two of us.
I remember you telling me the story of you picking it up and the guy saying, it's a Morandini jersey.
Yeah, I called up.
If you wanted it, it's here.
Yeah, exactly. My ex-girlfriend, Helena, bought it for me for my birthday, and it wasn't ready in time for my birthday, so I got it from Sports World right across the street from Wrigley. And so she's like, you got to call. So I called. I gave the last name, and he's like, okay, let me check for you. And I hear him walking. He comes back a couple minutes later. He's like, yeah, is it a Morandini jersey? And I go, yeah. He's like, well, it's here, you know, like if you want it. But no, I wore the Morandini jersey during every game of the playoffs. Chaz.
Well, I'm glad I got to touch base with you, because obviously you are one of the biggest Cub fans I know as well. I was watching Okun lose his stuff on Facebook.
I was, and not only was he losing it on Facebook, I was texting him back and forth, because you know that we once said that Okun and I, one of my best friends, Scott Okun, we've been lifelong Cub fans. We said years ago that if the Cubs won the World Series, we would go to the Hancock and just start throwing people off the building.
So, is that happening tomorrow?
Yeah, we're going to meet at the Hancock tomorrow and just start whipping people off the building. All right, Chaz, great to hear from you.
I'm all in.
All right, buddy. Great to hear from you again, Chaz.
Take care.
All right, buddy. There you go. Chaz Verba from the Factory Theater. Amazing guy. Huge Cub fan.
I'm staying away from the Hancock.
Yeah, stay away from the Hancock. It's going to be bad. All right, we got a break for the news and then more. True Blue Playoff Plus and all the Cubs World Series coverage is sponsored by Wintrust, home of Cubs Checking, and Sloan Water Connects Us. News is next.
Schoenbrun stands and makes it. Cubs will take the lead. Almora digging to the plate. Schoenbrun delivers 7-6 in the 10th.
Hey, hey, back to True Blue Playoff Plus from Wintrust, home of Cubs Checking on 720 WGN.
Yeah. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. How's everybody doing? We're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. True Blue Playoff Plus continues. Adam Hoag and Andy Mazur are here. We've got Mark Carmen in Cleveland. We got more interviews to play. We're going to take your phone calls. 312-981-7200. The Cubs have won the World Series. True Blue Playoff Plus continues. All of our Cubs World Series coverage is sponsored by Wintrust, home of Cubs Checking, and Sloan Water Connects Us. Zobrist, MVP.
And deservingly so.
Yeah.
I thought Adam and I talked about this a little bit earlier, too, that – of all the guys on this roster in the World Series, the most consistent guy, the guy that you could depend on, I thought was Zobrist the entire time.
He was good when the rest of the lineup was bad earlier in the series. Yep. He was the one guy who was a constant throughout the whole time. We dared to have this discussion last night before Game 7.
How about that?
It's just a great radio topic. And I said last night, you know, I thought Zobrist was the leader in the clubhouse. Chapman had a chance if he had maybe closed it out tonight.
Yeah.
But the way that game unfolded, I mean, it had to be Zobrist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, without question. What a story for him. 2 years in a row, you know? I mean, that's pretty special, right?
With two different teams. And you know, he was traded for last year with the Royals at the trade deadline, and the Cubs made a concerted effort to get him, and they did. And
he contributed.
Certainly it worked out very well.
Contributed mightily, and he got the MVP, got himself a new car as well.
Bill Murray was trying to steal it.
I saw that. Bill Murray's trying to steal it. He's trying to honk the horn. So let's go back to Cleveland and see if Mark Carman is there. Carm?
I'm here.
How are you?
I think I'm good. I think it's okay. Rizzo hit 3 points higher, slugged 100 points higher, had a higher on-base percentage, played the Rocky music. But that's fine. Give the MVP to Zobe. I don't care. It doesn't matter. Just to throw another guy's hat in the ring for the Riz family.
No, I understand. I totally understand. But, I mean, you know, you got to admit, the 10th inning there, man, that was the deal right
that
there.
Was, you know, that was. You know, that was.
It was clutch. Huge clutch.
You know what we haven't talked enough about tonight? Kyle Schwarber. Yeah. I mean, this guy.
3 for 5?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
I don't know that the Cubs win this series if he's.
You're
if
right.
He doesn't miraculously. Yeah. And I'll say the other thing, if he was cleared to play the field in Chicago.
So it would have been over sooner.
I don't even think it goes 7. Like, that's how much of a difference this guy
was.
I totally agree with you, man.
I totally agree with you. And when he wasn't cleared, I was like, oh, come on. Yeah. He can run the bases.
But if he doesn't put all the work in, he did all season long to make a miraculous recovery and even get cleared for the games in Cleveland. And then also, I guess we got to give the American League credit for winning the All-Star game.
I was just going to say, we were talking all about that, and the next thing you know, the Cubs are winning the games in the American League Park.
Yeah. But the other thing about Schwarb was he stole a base.
Yeah.
Honestly,
the guy just had knee surgery, and he stole a base.
After he got an infield hit.
But yeah, exactly.
How about his pinch runner in the 10th inning? Mm-hmm. Albert Almora.
Yeah. Huge.
On the deep fly ball by Bryant, has the smarts to go back and tag up and gets to second base.
Yeah. Beautiful stuff. And by the way, we have an interview. Carm, you did an interview with Almora, didn't you?
I talked to Almora. It's pretty fun. I actually, in the moment, forgot about the tag-up, which was incredible. I should have brought that up, but the rest of it is still in there.
We got it?
Yeah, okay. We got it.
Here we go.
Albert Almora Jr., you scored the go-ahead run in extra innings in the World Series.
Shoot, man. I can't begin to describe how that felt. I mean, you got to give it up to Schwarber for getting that base hit and starting that inning off, and then they told me to get in there. And
run, Forrest, run!
Exactly. That's all I tried to do. I tried to get in a scoring position as fast as I could, and when KB hit that ball, I saw Davis run back, and I had a good feeling it wasn't going to go out. So I went with my gut instincts, and I went back and tagged, and I was in scoring position for Rizzo, and then they walked him, and then that's how everything unfolded, man. And I was just at the right place at the right time, and I got to give it up to my teammates. It's unbelievable.
What was going on during the rain delay as you guys regrouped?
I'm not going to say it. If someone says it, they can say it, but I'm not going to say what went on. It was we were together as a team. That's all I can say. We were together as a team, and we were ready to go.
And when you slid into home, popped up, the emotions were flowing, looking in that dugout, you'll probably remember that for the rest of your life, I'm guessing.
You know, the first thing that went through my mind was to go back and tag home plate just because you never know. Now with this whole replay, the last thing you want to do is go back in history and be remembered as that guy, you know? So I went back, tagged home plate, and then I started celebrating, you know? And then to see the reaction in my team's face, you know, when...
Weren't you that guy?
Yeah, and then to see, it, you know, their emotions when Benny hit that double that got me there. Unbelievable. I got hurt. I'm bleeding somewhere. I don't even know what happened, but I almost about had a heart attack there, but it was awesome.
And just to be a contributor with this group, just talk about what that means to you.
I was honored and had the blessings to be a part of the best baseball team in history in my eyes. And Chicago, this is for you guys.
That's great. That's great, Carm.
I love that guy.
Yeah. He was awesome.
So funny. Really, really cool. Hey, I'm sure you know, because we got more interviews that you did, Carm. Talk a little bit about when you were asking everybody about that rain delay.
it was just incredible, right, to learn that Jason Hayward, and he's in there too, just talking about, he comes off the field and he's got a whole set of stuff going on inside him. He wants to speak from the heart, right, and say, look, we're winning this game. We're going to pick each other up. And I couldn't really get confirmation on this, but it sounded like they all huddled around Chapman. If you play the Addison Russell, I asked him about it. Was it Chapman? But they talk about how they were, one of our teammates was down, and we wanted to lift him up, so we all got together and sort of bear hugged him. And I guess they were like, we're winning it for, the way I heard it, for Aroldis. I mean, who else would it possibly be, right? I mean, nobody else. Yep. I mean, I guess Javi was feeling bad about what he had done too.
Yeah.
So
there were some reports on Twitter that that Chapman was in tears in the clubhouse during the rain delay.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Well, we've got, hold on, we got Addison Russell here.
I just want to get everyone together and say, you know, we've been picking each other up since day one, you know, since spring training has started. And we saw a team member down, but not out. We all smothered him. We picked him up. We told him that we're going to win this game, and we did.
Was this during the rain?
Yeah.
They said on TV that Aroldis and that type of thing?
I didn't say it was him. I mean, there's a few teammates that came in, didn't feel good about their performance. Man, I think the whole team played lights out. I mean, yeah. It was definitely a team win. We wouldn't be here without the team, obviously. It was just a great bonding experience.
What TV, they said that Aroldis was crying.
I didn't
confirm.
I didn't hear that. I mean, I didn't see that.
You didn't?
Okay. And I didn't see that either. Okay. You know, whenever I see Aroldis, you know, I see a competitor.
Yes.
A great guy, a great father, a guy that I respect his work ethic. People say what they want to say about him, but you know, he's a great guy, a great competitor.
Addison, does it feel like a weight is off everyone's shoulders in here, pulling it in for Chicago?
Well, there was no weight on our shoulders anyways. I mean, it's either we do it or we don't. We go out there and compete. We try our best. If we don't, we're going to feel really, really bad. But, you know, we gave it all we had. And I wouldn't want to be with another group of guys. Yeah, we've been doing it all season. I mean, young guys doing tremendous things with their stats, all the way up to this point, you know, to the ethnicity being on the team, all the way up to, you know, 2016 Cubs actually winning the World Series. So this is in the history books. We made our mark. And what's crazy is it's such a young core. We're just getting started.
And the roller coaster of tonight, just for you, how'd you stay in the moment, stay positive?
You have to just be in the moment. You have to lean on your teammates. Honestly, that's what it had to come down to, was leaning on the teammates, and we got it done by one run. You know, it's tremendous, tremendous.
Was the rain delay a good thing? Do you think? I mean, in terms of, it sounds like you guys got a chance to reboot in a weird way. Was that a positive for you guys to take a break during the rain delay?
Yeah. Me myself, I was kind of not. I don't like rain delays, but
yeah.
But it gave us a chance, you know, to actually talk to each other on a one-on-one level with the whole team, and put things into realization, and we came out with that win. Whether was that with the speech that did it, or just our athletic ability, but I honestly think that it's just our camaraderie. You know, it's been there since day one with this team. We've been so close knit. You know, there's no strangers on this team. We take in everybody whenever you play with the Cubs, and we harness that, and we embrace that as well.
Does it feel speech, Eddie?
Jason Hayward.
Does it feel real to you?
Yeah, it feels real. It started feeling real whenever the champagne started hitting my eyes.
There you go. Yeah, Carm, it's you know, and it, you know, such an incredible performance in Game 6 with this guy. You know, six RBIs, and you know, like when his bat comes to life at near the bottom of the order, that makes it a massive difference.
That dude is 22 years old.
Yeah. Yep.
He is a winner. He is a competitor. He is focused. I didn't want them to trade Jeff Samardzija for him. Let's throw that in there. That guy is I mean, I don't know if he's going to be the next Derek Jeter of the Cubs, so to speak. But he has his own little niche in that clubhouse where he's just so solid, so reliable, and clutch. There's nothing not to like about Addison Russell, right?
Yeah, he's giving Billy Beane nightmares.
Yeah.
And that's what's going on. But, yeah, I mean, this whole group, and, Carm, you were around them, and even going back to last year, the thing that always amazed me about this new regime and this new kind of way of thinking is that nobody ever came up and looked overmatched. Nobody ever came up and looked like they were a deer in the headlights. They all seemed like they were learning at the lower levels what it was supposed to be like to play at the big league level. And it's nice to see that there is a plan and that this is going to continue, hopefully, knock on wood, for years to come.
They got a great shot at it, right? I mean, you're talking about six guys starting in the World Series. No, that's never been done before in the history of baseball under 26 years old. And Jason Hayward's 27. Hopefully he'll have a much better year next year, right? They'll have to address their pitching at some point. But, I mean, now we're talking about a back-to-back. The Cubs are going to go into spring training as the favorite next year all day.
Yeah.
I mean, that's reality, and I don't think that's changing for a little while here.
You know, as Russell mentioned when you were talking to him, these guys, the camaraderie with these guys, it's a massive key to why they were so successful. And you can see it. You can see it in just in the dugout. You can see it in the dugout. You can see it during interviews. What a close-knit group these guys are, and that makes all the difference in the world, don't you think?
I do. And Rizzo started this really in this series at least, right? They're down 3-1. He's coming in there, bouncing around the clubhouse. He's playing Rocky music, Never Say Die, all that stuff. And he talked about Game 5 being the most intense game that he had ever played, and they could feel the tension of the crowd, the whole deal. And somehow, some way, they got through that game. It was super dicey. And then they hit like monsters last night, and then tonight is tonight. So, but Rizzo deserves a ton of credit for what's going on in that clubhouse. He's been there, right? He lost 100, won 100, yeah. And now he's won the World Series.
He and Travis Wood.
Yeah. Incredible stuff. All right, Carm, thanks, man.
You got it, guys.
All right. There's Mark Carman, who is in Cleveland. Let him get some rest. And, Adam, you were saying that you think that you saw like a post that they might be on the bus.
Yeah, there was one tweet that included a picture from inside the bus. So assuming that's the bus that's taking them to the airport in Cleveland, and it's a short flight from Cleveland.
Yeah.
So it seems like the Cubs have or at least started to depart Progressive Field.
Has anybody? Do we know if anybody's gathered at O'Hare?
It's a good question.
I mean, are people out there? Is anybody listening who's, works at O'Hare or anything? I mean, I would imagine that, there's probably a bunch of people out there assuming that the Cubs are going to come in on an overnight flight.
Yeah, you would think. I mean, it's hard though because they're at a secluded little area of O'Hare.
Yeah.
Usually, so it's kind of hard.
I don't think that's going to stop people from going.
Yeah, it's difficult to get around there though.
Yeah. Okay.
With security
we'll keep it. Dan, were you going to say something?
I know when the Blackhawks won their last time around, the public, they specifically landed on a runway away from the public.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Your best bet, if you can get towards Wrigley Field in a couple hours, that might be your best bet of actually seeing it.
I will say if they can set something up or they did think this out, one of the coolest moments in 2005 was being at Midway Airport. The way that they had it all set up where they took the plane close to, I don't even know what street it wasn't Cicero, but it was one of the other streets there where all the fans were gathered. They brought the plane as close to that street as possible. You could see them waving
the
flag out the plane window, and they all deplaned, and they all, one by one, drove their cars out through what basically turned out to be a parade of fans lying down the street. So I don't know if that's possible or if they can set that up quickly in the next 2 hours or so.
Yeah.
But if they can, I mean, the fans deserve something like that.
That would be great.
It was awesome.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dave Ennett just walked. Come on in, Dave.
Mr. TV man tonight.
Yeah. Well, Dave, you got to be on the air in 2 hours. All right, we're going to take a break here real quick, and then Dave, sit down for a second, okay? All right, we'll take a break, and the True Blue Playoff Plus. All of our Cubs World Series coverage is sponsored by Wintrust, home of the Cubs checking, and Sloan Water Connects Us. Break, and we'll be back with more.
That's in the air to center. Back at the wall. It is gone. What a start. Dexter Fowler, hello, in Game 7. 1-0 Chicago.
No doubt about it.
Best Cubs postgame show. Back to True Blue Playoff Plus. Brought to you by Wintrust, the home of Cubs checking on 720 WGN.
Nick DiGilio here, everybody. And it is True Blue Playoff Plus. Coverage is sponsored by Wintrust, home of Cubs checking, and Sloan Water Connects Us. Adam Hogue, Andy Major, and Dave. Dave, you should be sleeping.
No, sleep is for later. It's not. I don't sleep, Nick, on nights the Cubs win the World Series.
Yeah, I don't think any of us do at this point. Can you believe this is happening, Dave?
No, I really can't. I mean, I've come to grips with it, kind of, but it's like it's still. And I felt this way when they won the NLCS. It's kind of surreal.
Yeah.
Because you've thought about what it would be like. It's kind of like I thought it would be like. I have to say that. I mean, just driving here from WGN-TV just now and seeing all the people out in the streets.
It's nuts. It's crazy. I have to tell you, it's interesting that you mentioned, you know, when they won the pennant. I think I cried more then. I'm not really sure why. I mean, they won the World Series, and I lost my mind last night, you know, and I was crying, and I was just like, I was very emotional. But for some reason, you know, when they won the pennant on that Saturday night, I don't know why, but that hit me harder.
You know why? I think you were emotionally drained by the time this game ended tonight.
Oh, man. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about this game tonight, Dave. Have you ever seen a Game 7 like this?
No, I believe this is going to be talked about along with the Bill Mazeroski home run and some of the great Game 7s that have been played. You know, it's only the fourth Game 7 to go extra innings. Yeah. And the Indians have been involved on the losing end in each of the last two.
Is that? Oh, that's
yeah, 97.
That, right, 97, yeah. That's right. So, well, now, where did you watch the game?
At WGN-TV.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're ready to go on. In the ninth inning, I'm in the studio, and we're on the set. And then they go to the rain delay. So then we have a little bit of a break, mm-hmm. and then we come back in, and we're watching the 10th inning on the set mm-hmm. and waiting for the waiting for it, something to happen. And yeah. everybody is nervous, and some were more nervous than others. I kind of felt that somehow things were going to work out.
Yeah.
And they did for the Cubs.
All these years you've been covering this. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about this team? What makes this team, I mean, besides the fact that they actually just won the World Series, what is it about this team? You've been covering this team for a long time.
Well, I think they were immune to all of the history and all of the talk about what had gone on before them. I think these guys were too, and I don't mean this, I mean this in a respectful way, they were too young to know any better. Right? I mean, really didn't know that they weren't supposed to win.
Yeah.
And I think that the thing that stands out to me, and you can certainly question some of the moves he made tonight, and I think he probably welcomes it, but Joe Maddon set the tone for this team, had them relaxed going into the biggest game of their lives, and I think he had them, that whole Joe Cole thing, I think, played with these guys. It resonated with them, and I think it worked all year.
Yeah.
And so it's really remarkable. I think this is going to go down as one of the great World Series games, and I think that it would have been a memorable World Series because the Cubs were in it, but now I think it goes beyond that. It's just a great game.
No, it's like mythical proportions at this point. And I'm not just this game tonight, or last night, this Game 7, the entire series.
Yep.
The entire series was one of the greatest World Series in history, I think.
Well, and how much, I don't know if you call it retribution, justice, karma, whatever, but for 2003, where you come home with a 3-2 lead mm-hmm. and lose games 6 yeah. and 7, you go on the road and win games 6 and 7. And that takes some nerve.
You know, Adam asked me, as a Cub fan, and Andy, we're, you know, as Cub fans, did we really think that they would never win it, and why would we think that? And, Dave, you just mentioned 03. Mm-hmm. 84, I remember breaking furniture in my house and just being heartbroken. 07, 08, and I was telling Andy and Adam earlier, 08 I thought was the best team that they had ever fielded mm-hmm. since 84. And I was so confident going in, and then they get swept. And so, you know, it is easy to
you
think
left out
bad things
89,
are good. 89, I know. 89, 98, 98. Yeah, Will Clark, on, you know. Was it somebody tweeted when they were playing during the Giants series this year? Somebody like texted me and said, "Thank God Will Clark's not playing mm-hmm. on this team." But yeah, and you know, 98 was a fun season too. You know,
sure.
and so all of this, you know, and 89. I loved 89. Boys of Zimmer, you got to love that.
Oh, yeah.
But it's easy to keep your heart from breaking, you know, to have that shell around it. But that's all over now, man.
It is over. Now, it's never going to be the same again, no matter if they win two in a row, three in a row. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing. This is a new era that has begun now.
Yeah.
But it's never going to feel quite the same, I don't think, for our generation
of Cubs fans. It's funny. I was just talking. Chris Duffy was here working late on doing promos and sound and stuff. And he was talking because he's a Red Sox fan. He was, you know, and he was talking about how it's all changed now. Like the part of us died. That lovable loser thing, the GOAT, the 108 years, all gone now. So you're a different kind of fan. You were going to say, Adam?
Well, I want to ask you guys this, how it compares to the Bears winning the Super Bowl in 85. Just this day, it's a different team. It's a whole different animal because of the long drought. But, I mean, this obviously was one of the biggest days in this city's history. And how does that compare?
Well, I think there are a couple of differences, Adam. One, first of all, I was in New Orleans when the Bears won. I was at the Super Bowl, so I didn't have the sense of being in the city, and I'm glad I was here tonight to kind of see what was going on. But you didn't have the media coverage you have now. Mm-hmm. You didn't have all the TV stations going wire to wire with all the coverage that surrounded it. You didn't have Twitter and Facebook and all of the instantaneous reactions. So to me, that's the biggest difference, is that it was an event, but it happened. There was coverage. Then you went to the next thing, which unfortunately turned out to be the Challenger disaster two days later.
That's right.
So which kind of, you know, just sort of took everyone's attention in a different direction. But that's probably the biggest thing,
this,
I think.
This is obviously the greatest moment ever. Mm-hmm. But second for me was the Cup in 2010. That, you know, right. the Stanley Cup in 2010.
Another drought, too.
Massive for me, yeah.
But there have been a lot of people who have said, if the Cubs ever won the World Series, that would be the biggest sports story ever in Chicago.
I would agree with that.
And it's hard to argue with that. And part of that is that the amount of coverage that it's gotten, it's going to get, I think, surpass even what we saw in 1985 with the Bears.
I agree.
How could you have written it any more dramatic to have it come down to game seven and blow the save and the comeback? It's unbelievable.
No, it's in a rain delay, 17-minute rain delay in the middle of that. I was just like, what's going on?
So we got 17 minutes and 17 seconds.
Look at that. Yeah, that was 2013.
Exactly. But, you know, the number 17, pretty prominent.
Exactly. All right, you guys, thanks so much.
Chris Bryant.
Andy, you're going to hang out for
a
little bit?
Yeah, I'll hang out with you.
Okay. Dave, great job as always, my friend.
This was a solid 4 minutes, wasn't it?
Awesome.
Well, if you want to stick around, you can stick around.
I'm sure you got
some work to do.
I appreciate it,
Steve's show.
These guys have done a great job.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's been great having them.
Absolutely. Okay, Dave Ennett, everybody, he's the best. All right, we're going to take a break, and we got the news coming up, and it's True Brew Playoff Plus. All of our Cubs World Series coverage is sponsored by Wintrust, home of Cubs Checking and Sloan Water Connects Us. We're going to talk more Cubs, and I'm officially going to start my show after 3 o'clock, because we're going to officially start my show. Hey, the news is in 8 seconds. I feel all right. I feel all right tonight. And I'll bring you Christmas contraband and ancient tales. All right, all right, all right. Hey, no, it's not 2 a.m. It's not 2 a.m. It's 3:09, and we're starting my show, officially my show, but we're going to continue to talk about the Cubs. It's Nick DiGilio here on the seventh floor of Trib Tower in the Allstate Studios, and we're here, and our phone number is 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200 for talk and text. We're going to continue to talk Cubs. Andy Mazur is going to pop in, and we'll talk more with Andy. And just remembering Ron Santo, because if he were with us, he would be losing his mind right now. And I know that he is smiling from up above and clicking his heels, wearing that number 10 jersey. And in honor of Ron Santo and the Cubs' victory, they are the world champions. It's just amazing. We are going to play some classic Ron Santo and Pat Hughes clips from my old Pat and Ron highlight reel. And so the Pat and Ron show, we will play some of the best ones. And I know that you guys always have requests But I couldn't think of doing a post World Series victory with the Chicago Cubs show without busting out some Pat and Ron. So we're gonna hear some. We're gonna hear Ron's voice on a morning when I think we all deserve and need to hear Ron's voice. And we want to hear from you. 312-981-7200. Jasmine's been hanging on for a long time. Hi, Jasmine.
Good morning.
Morning. How are you?
I can't sleep, and that's bad.
Yeah.
But it's worth it.
Yeah. You're a Cub fan, Jasmine?
Yeah, I got into it early last year when they were winning like 100 games.
Well, they won 97 last year, but that's close enough.
But so I'm still, you know, pretty young to the baseball.
Sure.
It's still fun.
Do you like the game?
Yeah, it's long but fun.
Well, I got to say, you know, these particular playoff games, especially the World Series, were extremely long. Very, very. I mean, tonight's game was something like 4 hours, over 4 hours, if I'm not mistaken.
Do you want to hear how I celebrated?
How did you celebrate, Jasmine?
Well, since I'm, you know, too young to drink, I went out in my front yard, shook up a soda bottle, and opened it.
There you go.
Let it fly everywhere.
All right, Jasmine, good for you. Thank you for calling, Jasmine. I appreciate it.
You too. Go party the night away.
All right, see you later.
Bye.
Bye. I don't do that anymore. Here's Carla on WGN. Hi, Carla.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I lost my voice. I'm driving back from Cleveland. We went to the game.
Oh. You were at the game, Carla?
Yeah, it's actually a funny story. My bestie and I, we've been going to ballparks since 2005. We've been to 20 of them.
Oh, cool.
And I went to a charity event this morning, and I heard Danny Hampson speak. And he was just talking about living in the moment and just living for today and be positive and not evil. And I texted her. I'm like, let's go to Cleveland. So we left late. We didn't leave until afternoon. And we got to the game about 15 minutes before it started.
How did you get tickets, Carla? How did you get tickets?
A friend of mine was actually going to the game as well, and he got us standing room. But we ended up sitting by him the entire time.
Oh,
so
man.
We paid standing room prices for seats, and it was just insane. I felt like I was at Wrigley.
Tell me about the atmosphere. And again, Carly, you know, impulsively, you ended up going to one of the most historically significant baseball games ever in the history of the sport.
I know. I told her, I'm like, I just had the best idea in the entire world. Like, she's like, I don't know if we should go, you know, calling it or, you know, taking days off. I'm like, no, we have to go. I'm like, I'm going. And so we went, and it was just, I can't even describe it. I mean, it was just unreal. You know, just with Dexter getting that starting off that homer. And then just building up the runs, but then, you know, the Indians started coming back, and then, and Chapman, it just...
Yeah, and then Carly, you got the rain delay. Everything was thrown at you tonight.
Which was insane, because it was raining harder before the rain delay than it was when the actual rain delay happened. And so we went downstairs, and next thing you know, it was back on, and then Schwarber got the leadoff single, and... the rest is history. It was insane.
Well, it's amazing that you were there, Carla. And thanks for thanks. Now be careful driving. Where are you right now? How close are you to home?
Let me look. We are 269 miles away.
All right. Well, be careful out there, Carla.
All right. Have a good night.
All right. Take care. How about that? Impulsively just goes to the game.
Yeah, and just like you said, one of the most important games in the history, not only of Chicago, but in baseball.
That's Andy Mazur, by the way, who's here on the show hanging out with me. And we're talking about the Cubs winning the World Series. She mentioned my favorite Cub on the roster,
okay,
Dexter Fowler.
Yeah.
He's my favorite Cub on the roster. He's the kind of baseball player I really like. He plays the kind of ball that I really like. I mean, I have a Morandini jersey, so yeah. I like the scrappy kind of guys who get on base and work at it. And I personally think that Fowler is the best leadoff man that the Cubs have had since Dernier.
I'm gonna give you. Jerome Walton had that one.
Jerome
good
Walton,
year,
89. Yep.
So I'd say he's in the picture. Yeah, Soriano didn't really bat leadoff much here in Chicago at all. But, yeah, you know, Fowler, and it's the most interesting thing about Fowler is the way that they got him back this year.
I know.
I mean, walking into spring training, everybody thought he was assigned, sealed, and delivered 3 years for the Orioles.
Yeah.
And the guy shows up to Mesa, and the next thing you know, they start rolling. And, you know, Joe Maddon has always said, you know, you go, we go every time they kick, every time the guy gets comes up the plate, because however Dexter Fowler goes is usually how the Cubs offense goes. And
that's right.
Tonight started off with a home run.
Yeah. Yeah, I just love the guy. I think he's just a terrific. He's the kind of ball player that really that just makes me
happy.
And
he has fun. You could just tell he's smiling all the time.
All the time. And just anytime something good happens, Fowler is jumping out of the dugout.
Yep.
And
great teammate.
Yeah, he's
great
teammate. Just I love that guy. I just think he's great, and I think he contributed mightily throughout the entire season.
He did.
And the postseason. And you know, I mean, the guy started the game off with a home run last night.
It doesn't get much better than that, and especially against Corey Kluber. I mean, because you know, it was so weird. You know, we're using Rocky analogies all night because of the the way that Rizzo started that thing a couple of days ago. And you know, when they got to Kluber and when they got to Andrew Miller, I tweeted, it's like Rocky IV. They cut Drago. I mean, they finally realized that it wasn't a that they weren't machines. It's like these guys are human. They give up runs.
Yeah, it's true. And it's funny you mentioned Rizzo, and he was mic'd tonight. And you got to love this guy for many reasons. One, he was the team leader. He's a great guy. But he made an Anchorman reference.
It was hilarious. He was in a glass case of emotion.
I didn't think it was possible for me to love Rizzo more. And then he makes a reference to Anchorman while he's mic'd during the World Series.
Because it was actually, I think Ross was the one that was mic'd. And
Ross was mic'd, right.
He came up to Ross as the game started. He goes, I can't breathe. I can't calm down. I can't. David's trying to be, Grandpa Rossi.
Right.
And he goes, oh, I'm just so emotional. And you see Tommy La Stella standing in front of him just laughing. And I think La Stella actually had the line first, and then Rizzo repeated it.
Oh, is that what happened?
Still hilarious.
Yeah.
It was
all
good
stuff. Well, we'll just say that if you're making Anchorman references in the dugout, you're gonna win.
Yeah, they're relaxed. And it was funny because a couple of people were tweeting during the end of the game that Joe was breaking his own rule. Joe Maddon was breaking his own rule. He was letting the pressure exceed the pleasure.
Mm.
But and obviously in the moment I might have agreed with that, but at the same time, the guy's been a master tactician all year.
Yeah.
And while you could question some of the moves he made tonight with the bullpen and even last night, I got on him pretty good on Twitter tonight and last night. But, it's weird watching the game as a fan as opposed to being there doing a game like I'm used to doing.
Right.
So I kind of lost it a little bit.
Yeah. Well, you have to remain a pro in your job.
Yeah, I do. And I felt like last night I may have gotten a little bit over my skis. And I did apologize for that. So
right.
I just want to get that on
you
record.
Just had to apologize to the people that were in the room with you. Otherwise,
exactly.
Other than that, it's
exactly.
Fine. All right. Let's go to Mike on WGN. Hey, Mike.
I just want to say, Ronnie Santo rigged this game. We won it.
Yes. Yeah. Ron Santo, who I believe is probably listening. And we're going to hear from Ron. Mike, you got to stay tuned because we're going to play some classic Pat and Ron clips in a little bit.
Very good.
All right, Mike. Where'd you watch the game, buddy?
I didn't watch it.
We appreciate that you listened to the game. Thanks, Mike. Well, he got to hear Pat's call.
I know. And I'm happy for Pat. And, it's so funny that everybody's talking about Ronnie because, when they won the NLCS, I thought about Ronnie immediately.
Yeah.
He was the first person that popped into my head. And tonight, at the beginning of our show, we talked to Ron's son, Jeff.
Yeah.
Who we talked to also after the NLCS. And Jeff and his family, they were actually, his brother and his sister were in town as guests of the Cubs for games 3, 4, and 5.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought it was pretty important that we talked
to
Jeff again. And
he
was very emotional. Ronnie bled Cubby blue from the minute he signed as an 18-year-old out of Franklin High School in Seattle, Washington, as a catcher and a quarterback. And then became a third baseman and eventually the broadcaster that he became. And, I owe a lot to him just because of the way he ingratiated me into the booth there. And he became one of my best friends, And it's still hard to believe that he's, even after all these years, that he's not here. But, boy,
it'll be 6 years in December.
Yeah, and he and Ernie are having a good time.
Yeah. Yeah, last night was very special, and again, we got some great clips. I'm sure you'll remember many of them.
Oh yeah,
Andy, the Pat and Ron show highlight reel was something that I did every Sunday night on my show, and it was a week's worth of highlights that people would call in, and some of them are so great and so funny, and so memorable. And my favorite, one of my favorites of all time, is the one where he talks about how there's a guy screaming and somebody should shoot him. That's, I believe, my favorite of all the clips, but. One of the last clips that we have is from the 2010 season, okay. late in the 2010 okay. season. And it involved an argument about Sylvester Stallone's height.
Oh, goodness.
So that's...
See, I don't know if you guys remember this one. I don't know if you have it. But it was, I think it was a 2001. It goes way back.
We didn't start doing this until around 06, maybe? Yeah.
Cubs are playing the Brewers at Wrigley Field.
Okay.
And Ruben Quevedo, who has since passed away, who was traded from Atlanta to the Cubs, and then from the Cubs to the Brewers. So here we are in 2001, and Quevedo is starting against the Cubs. And Ron is convinced that he recognizes and knows of this guy who's pitching against the Cubs from somewhere. And Pat's trying to tell him that this is the guy that the Cubs had that traded to Milwaukee. Now he's pitching for the Brewers against the Cubs. He's like, no, that's not. I specifically remember that there was another guy. I'm telling you, you know, he's looking back at me. He's looking back at Bolts. You know, this is 2001. The internet's barely, you know, however old it is.
Yeah.
So we're sitting there on these archaic computers on dial-up trying to figure out who he's talking about. And like three innings into the game, you see Ron just kind of look up to the ceiling. He goes, he gives one of those.
Yeah.
And Pat's like, yes? He goes, you know something? You guys were right. It is that guy. 3 innings of chasing nothing. But that was just, you know, it was so innocent. And none of it was scripted. It was just, perfect.
He was the best. He was the best. All right, we got some phone lines open if you want to jump in. Danny Mazur's hanging out. It's the Nick DiGilio Show here on 720 WGN. The Cubs have won the World Series. We're celebrating. And after 4 o'clock, we will celebrate with Pat and Ron classic clips. That's all coming up right here on WGN.
That's a base hit. Rizzo scores. Zobrist is held. 8-6 Chicago.
Andy Mazur is with me here. It's Nick DiGilio on WGN. You were singing along with the song.
Do you know that there's a funny story about this? At my high school, the variety show was right after all this stuff came out. So a bunch of my buddies and I, we auditioned for the variety show, lip syncing this song. And we were among the first cuts.
Oh, man.
We were so bad. It was so funny.
Lip-syncing the first song.
It was terrible.
That's fantastic. Andy Mazur's here. It's Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN. I'm your overnight dude. We're here till 5 o'clock. Dave Plyer is in for Steve Grzanich in the opening bell, and then Steve Cochran at 6 o'clock. And the celebration continues all day long. The Cubs are the champions of the World Series 2016 champions.
Yeah. Still doesn't sound right, but it's the truth.
It's just weird. It just it's very, very weird. Now, Rick Geezer, who has a podcast on WGNplus.com.
It's good stuff.
Sports songs. Mm-hmm. He was in last week. And
I caught some of that.
And we did an all-Cubs sports songs in honor of them being in the World Series. And so he unveiled this song. I don't know if you heard it.
Okay.
This is a song by a woman named Marie Fuller.
Okay.
It's from 1969. She just recorded it. Rick found it on YouTube, and it's like she was just a huge super fan of the Cubs, and she recorded this song. We're going to play a little bit of it,
okay. And
I personally think it's one of the greatest Cubs songs of all time, so let's hear a little bit of this.
Go, 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 Chicago Cubs, win, win, win that game. Go, 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 Chicago Cubs.
There you go.
Nice.
See, I'm convinced that Rick discovering this hidden song is the reason why the Cubs won the World Series.
Hey, whatever you believe, right? As long as it actually happened, it's all good.
And
right?
It did happen.
Yeah, it's all good.
All right. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you want to join us. We're celebrating the Cubs' victory. They are the World Series champions. It's unbelievable. And we would love to hear from you, talk or text, 312-981-7200, about your Cubs' memories and how you watch the game and all that cool stuff. Here's Patrick on WGN. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, Nick, how you doing, buddy? Congratulations to all you Cub fans.
Yeah.
Chicago. Finally, every team in this city has its championship.
That's absolutely true.
Finally.
That's right. Absolutely true.
Finally.
Yep.
As a Sox fan, I got to give credit where credit is due. This has been one of the most dominating Cubs lineups in years from start to finish. I mean, you know, most teams – so, you know, the superstition is most teams fall apart after the All-Star break. They got better and better.
They fell apart before the All-Star break.
Right.
Yeah, but that didn't last. Well, remember, the Sox lost 11 in a row before Ozzie called them a bunch of losers and they turned it around.
Yeah.
So, you know, it didn't matter to them. None of all that nonsense, you know, the curses, goats, none of that stuff mattered to these guys.
Yeah.
And they just, they pulled it out, you know. Oh, what else was I going to say? I just had so much going through. It's just, it's amazing for everybody. You know, as I sit here, I'm thinking about it, I'm listening to all the reaction, all the emotion going on. And you know what? It's awesome for you. It really is. It really is. You know, congratulations to y'all.
Oh, well, I appreciate that, Patrick. And that's really nice of you, you know, because you're a Sox fan. And that's really nice of you to give us congratulations on that.
I got to give that credit, man. Yeah. I really do.
Because
they were an amazing team. Yeah. This is what I was going to say. Maybe Ron and Ernie and Harry and
Jack.
They all sat back and said, you know what? Go kick the weather machine. They need a breather. So somebody went and kicked the rain machine.
Nicely put, Patrick.
Intervention.
Thanks, buddy.
It was divine intervention.
Have a great morning.
Have a great one.
All right, take care. Right. That's an interesting thing.
That's
a
good point, yeah.
It's like, hey, can we have a little rain, God?
Yeah, Ronnie.
Just for...
Ronnie clicked his heels and knocked over the, like, you know,
he spilled something. That's
exactly
what he did. He spilled a bunch of water and it came from heaven.
Been there, done that.
Well, actually, one of the clips that we're going to play involves him spilling coffee.
Which was pretty much a weekly, daily, game-by-game thing.
Exactly. All right, Andy, hang on for a second. We're going to take a break here for the news. 312-981-7200, talk and text. The Cubs have won the World Series, and after 4 o'clock, we are going to celebrate it by listening to incredible Pat and Ron highlight reels from years past. And that's all coming up later. The news is next.
Sjolbreth stats, a base hit. Cubs will take the lead. Almora dig into the plate. Sjolbreth delivers 7-6 in the 10th.
Let's go.
Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And here till 5 a.m., Dave Plyer is in for Steve Grzanich, and the opening bell will be at 5, and Steve Cochran at 6. And the celebration continues. If you're just waking up or you were living under a rock, the Chicago Cubs are your 2016 World Series champions.
You can't say that enough.
No, you can't. It was an amazing game, all the way around. Really unbelievable.
It's funny because I was mentioning to Mark Carmen earlier tonight that this game kind of seemed to sum up all the other playoff rounds that the Cubs have played in my lifetime. You know, you go back to '84, and you think about how you get off to a great start in the game and you're going crazy, and then all of a sudden it's 1989 and Will Clark's hitting a home run, and then you get to 1998, you have to really fight and scratch to get in, and then you get to 03 and you're like, oh my god, we're about to win this game, and then you get the wool pulled out from under you. You know, you go to 07 and 08 and things don't work out for you. Get to this year.
Last year too.
Hey man, this is our year.
Last year too. It was a great postseason for a while until New York,
until the Mets.
This is the thing. When last year, when the Mets swept them, it hurt, obviously.
Yeah.
but I didn't expect them to get to the World Series or win the World Series. I think they were too young.
Yeah.
And I think another year of Madden and, you know, some changes and things like that, and then they did it.
I think what the Cubs exposed in the Indians this year is the same thing the Mets exposed in the Cubs last year, and that was a lack of depth in starting pitching because the Cubs had all their pitchers lined up correctly, even though they took a little more time to get to the World Series than the Indians did.
Mm-hmm.
But they had everybody on normal rest.
Yep.
Nobody was going on 3 or 4 days. Everybody was going on normal starts.
Yep.
And the Indians were trying to patchwork together with 3 starters. And that's what the Cubs tried to do last NLCS because Hendricks wasn't Hendricks this year.
Yeah.
Hamill wasn't Hamill. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it just didn't work out. Yeah. But this year it did.
It did. They won the World Series. And we want to hear from you guys at 312-981-7200. Nick DiGilio here. Andy Mazur's hanging out with me. After 4 o'clock, we're going to continue talking Cubs and listening to some great Pat and Ron show highlight reels. Pat's Hughes and Ron Santo. Broadcasters here at GN for many years, and we collected a bunch of highlights. I did a regular thing on my show for many years on Sunday nights called the Pat and Ron Show Highlight Reel, where listeners would listen to the games, and then when Pat and Ron said something funny in the booth or something weird happened, they would let us know, we'd find it, and then play them back every Sunday night. And I've got some of the best of the Pat and Ron Show clips because you got to hear Ron's voice at this time. You got to. Here's Donna on WGN. Hi, Donna.
Hey, Nick. How are you doing today?
All right. Pretty great, actually.
Yes. Yeah. Well, as am I. Yeah. Yes, indeed.
So where'd you watch the game, Donna? At home?
I watched the game at home. It was a rather bittersweet moment. My mom, who raised us, South Side, raised us Cub fans.
Oh, boy.
Mom passed away a week and a half ago.
Oh.
Oh, she was the oldest of 4 sisters. They actually died in reverse order. And I know all of the Kolesky sisters are up in heaven in the ultimate skybox.
Hmm.
And I know that they help to bring about this Cubs victory tonight. Yeah. I just know they did because they, you know, living on the South Side, it's kind of hard to be a Cub fan.
Yeah.
And actually my late husband was a Sox fan. So, you know, we had a mixed marriage.
yeah. Well, that Donna, you know, everybody, there's such an emotional connection to your family and to this team. It's really kind of impossible to explain.
Yeah, well, and it's a very bittersweet moment too for me because I can't share it with Mom.
Right.
You know, but as I say, I know that she and her sisters have that ultimate skybox view, and knowing them, they kind of helped the bats and the gloves tonight.
Well, I really appreciate you sharing that story with us, and congratulations to the Cubbies.
Yeah, hey, go Cubs, that's
right.
For sure.
All right, okay. Donna, thanks.
Thanks.
Thank you, Donna. I just wanted to mention, I loved Vic's news report. What was it, Dan, was it last hour, right?
Right. Yes.
Last hour when he said the Cubs have the day off tomorrow. I was like, yeah, they do. The Cubs have the day off.
Yeah, they always said it was the 3 saddest words, no game today.
Right.
I haven't had a chance to post it yet, but one of my favorite baseball movies, one of my favorite baseball lexicon lines, they won the last game of the season.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
At the end of Moneyball, they say Billy Bean's still trying to win
last game.
The Cubs have won the last game of the season.
They did.
They're the only ones
in very dramatic fashion.
The last ones to enter on a winning streak.
Yeah. Here's Joe on WGN. Hey, Joe.
Hey, how are you? Just on I-90 right now, driving back from Cleveland with Pops and myself. He's 71. He was 2 months old when they were last in the World Series, so he was crying tonight and big hugs. And so this has been a great trip out there.
That's very special. So did you go? Yeah. Did you just go to last night's game only? Just game 7?
No, we were at 6 and 7 out in the plaza because it's such a great experience there. I mean, it's almost like being in the stadium. And then Pops went to game 5 at Wrigley, so that was huge as well. 28 years of season tickets, well-earned for that one.
Yeah.
And then we also went to a couple Dodger games out in L.A., game 3 and 4. So
it's
been quite a journey for us. And we got to see my great aunt out there who's 99, and she went to a bunch of Cubs games back in the 30s and 40s at Hack Wilson Stories and everything. So, great trip, not just 71, 108 years, but just this last 2.5 weeks.
Yeah,
too, you know?
I bet. I mean, and it's with your dad too. That's always amazingly special.
Absolutely, yeah.
All right, Joe. Be safe when you're driving home. Okay, buddy.
Will do. Yep.
Right, take care. Thanks. Congratulations to Joe and his family. It's again. I don't know how many times we hear the father son thing. The first thing I did when the Cubs, I called my dad as soon as they won.
Me too.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder how long the Cubs are going to keep up the chalk markings on the outside of the wall on Sheffield.
That's pretty cool.
I don't know how it started, but you know, you started seeing reports on Twitter and Facebook that people were, you know, using chalk to write on the outside wall, and it seemed like it was a makeshift memorial almost. You know, for a lot of people that had that connection with a lost loved one. Going out there and writing their name, you know, my father has a brick on the outfield over there too. So it's kind of cool to see all the different colors. And people were actually writing some neat things. They were making caricatures of the logo and things. It's pretty cool.
Beautiful. It was really.
Yeah, I don't know how long it'll stay out there.
Yeah, I don't know how long it'll stay out or who started it or whose idea it was to start. But it really is beautiful, and it adds another level to the mystique of what happened for this entire season. What an incredible season. I mean, from the get-go.
Yeah, this was never really in doubt. I mean, the only time you really had any kind of concerns or worries were the five-game losing streak just before the All-Star break. And a lot of these guys pointed to the game in Pittsburgh the Sunday before the All-Star break that they won as a pivotal game. Because they were heading down. They were heading in a south direction there. And Anthony Rizzo took it upon himself to win that game against the Pirates for them. They went to the All-Star game, and Chris Bryant hits the home run off of Sale, and they go 22-6 in August.
Yeah.
And it never really seemed in doubt. And it really, I think they learned a lot from last year, especially when we were talking about the pitching, with the six-man rotation for a lot of that last couple of months, which I think really preserved guys like Lester and preserve guys like Lackey and Arrieta and even Kyle Hendricks to a certain extent with his first real full season going on as a starting pitcher. So it helped to get out to, and they talk about April. You usually can't win a championship in April, but you can certainly lose one.
Yeah, no question about it. It was just a crazy season all the way around. Mm-hmm. And I remember right before the All-Star break, I was like, oh man. You know, I was really like, oh, God, they're falling apart.
But how many seasons could you think of in your memory? And we're around the same age, where you lose one of your best players three games into the season, and you think, "Oh man, what's going to happen?" Oh yeah, well let's just go win 103 games.
Yeah, and then he can.
And then he comes
then
back
he,
for the
he
World
can come
Series.
Back for the World Series and kick ass.
Amazing, Kyle Schwarber.
It's an incredible story all the way around. An unbelievable season. If you guys want to join us, Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We got a whole bunch of texts. That came in. I'm going to read a bunch of those. And if you want to jump in with some phone calls, we'll talk a little bit more. Andy Mazur's hanging out with me. And then after 4 o'clock, we'll talk a little more Cubs, obviously, celebrate the fact that they won the World Series, and listen to some classic Ron Santo and Pat Hughes moments that aired right here on this station that you guys, the listeners, picked out as some of your favorites. So we'll get to hear from Ron Santo himself.
Awesome.
When from the booth from some years ago. All right.
Bryant taking off. Here's a shot into right by Rizzo. Bryant's going to come around. The throw by Chisholm. Now Kipnis. Another run. Bryant's safe, and it's 5-1.
Yeah. Fly Jam Bob suggested we play Ides of March finally next year.
Nice.
It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. I'm my overnight dude here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich is off, but Dave Plyer will be hosting the opening bell, and Steve Cochran will be in at 6, and the celebration continues. The Chicago Cubs are your 2016 World Series champions.
I know you can't say it with a straight face, without giggling or without having some that feeling in your stomach.
It's
you know
crazy.
That's awesome.
Now that highlight we just played, whoa,
Bryant
aggressive. I would say,
yeah. How about the aggressive send on the real short sack fly?
Yeah,
in the fourth inning. I'm not sure what Rajah Davis was doing from the beginning.
Yeah.
He was flat-footed, never really had a chance to throw. And people forget about Bryant. He's 6'5", but he's an athlete.
Mm-hmm.
he was picking him up and, you know, putting him down as he was coming around the bags there at first to the home on the double there by Rizzo.
It's just a beautiful piece of pace running. Mm-hmm. And one of the many highlights of last night's incredible game. I mean, seriously, an incredible baseball game. To cap off an incredible World Series, one of the best World Series in the history of World Series, and the Cubs won it.
Do you think the Cleveland fans are regretting the 3-1 taunting of the Golden State Warriors all year?
maybe. John and Niles sends a text. Nick, I just saw this whole World Series as a Cubs film, with Game 7 being a brilliant climax and a storybook ending for the perfect season, also celebrating Ross's career and Schwarber's comeback.
Pretty cool.
A lot of magic stuff happened this year, man. 773 area code, Baumgartner, Kershaw, and Kluber. They beat three of the very best that the MLB has to offer, avoided two offenses that rivaled their own, offenses that rivaled their own, Washington and Toronto. When people ask you, do you believe in miracles, say yes, because you just saw one in your lifetime that rivals one of the best historically.
They have also beaten managers that have won a combined 5 World Series. If you look at Bruce Bochy, had 3.
Oh, yeah.
Terry Francona had 2. This is the first time that Francona has lost World Series games as a manager.
Mm, amazing. Jim in Carbondale says, this town is excited. So many fireworks and celebrations. 312 says, congratulations, Nick and crew. What a game. What a series. What a year. And the game tonight was magical, and it shows why so many baseball fans can watch a movie like The Natural or especially Field of Dreams and cry at the end. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's believable for a 40-year-old rookie who can knock a cover off a baseball. He's 39. I love the fact that a guy they call Grandpa is like 13 years younger than me.
Yeah, I have a problem with that,
yeah,
too.
I know. Thank you, Ernie, Billy, Ronnie, Harry, Jack. You made the baseball gods let us have it and go Cubs. 331 area code. Doug says, my favorite player ever is Ryan Sandberg. My son's favorite player will be a World Series champion. Who's his son's favorite player?
He didn't mention, but I think it's just the idea.
Just
that,
the idea that anybody on the team.
The concept, that's crazy.
Yeah, my daughter will never know a Cubs team that it wasn't a World Series champion. You know, isn't that crazy to think?
Yeah, it's nuts. Jay in Ohio says, what a great World Series. Yes. 607 says, checking in from upstate New York here. I've been listening to you, Nick D, for a few years. I'm so happy for you guys and gals in Chicago, especially for WGN and the Nick D Show. Oh, that's very nice.
It's awesome.
All right, let's see. Who do we got here? Matthew is on WGN. Hey, Matthew.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Fantastic, right?
Yeah.
So I have a fun story to share.
Okay.
I woke up this morning not knowing that my wife and I, on our anniversary, would be going to Game 7 and call it a angel or whatever you want to call it. I posted a nice message about my wife and all of our ties to the Cubs and how exciting it is that Game 7 is on our anniversary day. And then at 1 p.m., we live in Lexington, Kentucky, about 5 hours from Cleveland.
Okay.
And about 1 p.m., I got a message from a girl that I went to college with that hadn't talked to in 7 years that works for Major League Baseball. And she said, I have 2 tickets. How quickly can you get to Cleveland?
My God.
We sat on the third baseline, 7 rows up off the field.
Oh.
I went from thinking I was going to be eating Papa John's with my dog and my wife in my basement.
Oh, man. I can see that. I can see that image now, Matthew. I thought I was going to be eating Papa John's with my dog. That's awesome. That's awesome. How many years you've been married, Matthew?
This is our 2nd anniversary.
Oh, well, congratulations, man. What a great way to spend it.
We might have peaked it.
your 2nd anniversary, you're not going to be able to top that, not even on your 50th.
No.
That's great. Matthew, congratulations, man. I'm so glad you were able to go to the game. That's amazing.
All right, take care.
What a great story. So many great stories. Here's Sarah on WGN. Hey, Sarah.
Hey, Nick.
Hey.
It's so great to listen to you on the radio again. I never get to hear you because you're on late at night like this.
But you're making an exception this morning because the Cubs won the World Series.
I am. I live up in Milwaukee, and I left work about 11 and a half hours ago, drove down to Chicago so I could be in front of Wrigley Field for the game. Mm.
Was hanging out with a friend of mine that I actually met at your film club.
Oh, that's nice.
And I am literally walking into my apartment building right now as we speak.
Well, that's quite a trip. What movies did you come to see at my film club?
I haven't been out there in a while, but I was doing quite a few of them for a while. I know I did, like, Back to the Future and Young Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Kind of in that whole era, you know?
All right. Very, very cool. That's very cool. And what was it like in front of Wrigley? Was it a madhouse?
It was a madhouse. People were stacked up pretty early. Everybody was trying to get updates on their phones because we couldn't see TVs if we were in front of the ballpark.
Yeah.
So, of course, none of the apps were working correctly.
Of course, yeah.
My best friend, whom I've known since we were 8, we're 35 now, she couldn't come with me because she had to stay at home with her children. So she actually ended up texting me the 10th inning.
Oh, man. giving you the 10th inning highlights.
Yes, yeah. And I was just sharing it with the people around.
And I'm assuming that a few of those texts were in all caps.
Oh my gosh!
<What's> the...
And the funniest thing was right before the last Cleveland batter came up, like right after that guy got on base, right after that walk, she texts me and goes, "Theo looks nervous."
Yeah. Wow. All right, Sarah. Well, congratulations. It was so nice. You know, it's a great memory that you have.
Yeah, and I did want to share with you real quickly my Ron Santo anecdote.
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
So there's this great one from the first year that Citi Field was open. And Pat was talking about how sometimes they can't see home plate because there's a walkway right in front of the radio booth. Right. And people would stand on it. And then all of a sudden, Rodney is up and yelling, "Would you please get out of the way? Move!"
Sarah, you're going to hear that clip in the next hour.
Well, 2 months ago, a friend of mine and I were in New York, and I made sure we went to a Mets game. And I actually was looking at the booth, looking for those walkways.
Yeah. They actually posted a picture of the guy holding the sign. I think it was Boltzy took the picture from inside the booth and then posted it on their blog. Sarah, that is one of the funniest clips ever, and we're going to be playing that in the next hour.
Excellent.
Okay. All right, Sarah, take care. Thanks for the call.
You too.
All right, take care. Bye. That's one of the funniest
Would
ones.
Would you please sit down?
Sit down! We can't do it justice, but you will hear it. In the next hour. Listen, we're going to break here. Andy, thanks for hanging out, man.
Absolutely, my pleasure.
I really appreciate it. Andy Mazur does such a great job. And then you're off. You're going on a trip.
Yeah, going on a trip. Going to a wedding.
You're going
weekend.
To a wedding. Yep. Well, have fun, man.
Thank you.
And you know, go Cubs.
Go Cubs.
All right. I want to thank Andy Mazur for hanging out, and I want to thank Adam and Andy and Dave Ennett for stopping in, and our Carmen for all the coverage. We're going to take a break for the news, and when we come back, we'll talk more Cubs. I'll read some of your texts, 312-981-7200, and then it's all Pat and Ron show highlights from here on. And it'll be great to hear Ron's voice and reminisce. All right, 10 seconds to news.
Here's the 0-1. This is going to be a tough play. Bryant, the Cubs win the World Series! Bryant makes the play! It's over! And the Cubs have finally won it all!
Go, go, go! Chicago Cubs!
I love Marie Fuller, 1969 Cubs superfan who recorded that song called Go, 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 Chicago Cubs. Esmeralda, you gotta love that song.
It's a snappy tune.
It is a jam. How you doing, everybody? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Studios, 7th floor of the Trib Tower, here till 5 o'clock. Dave Plyer in for Steve Grzanich in the opening bell, and Steve Cochran at 6, and the celebration continues. The Chicago Cubs are the 2016 World Series champions. Dan, can you believe it?
Every time. I start to tear up and I get excited. My heart beats faster.
I totally agree with you. Every time I say it, I get like the tear ducts start going and I get all kind of goofy.
Oh, man. When Rossi hit his home run, Eileen's like, "Are you okay?" And I'm like, "You don't understand."
It was an incredible game. Seriously, one of the best World Series Game 7s ever, and I think one of the best series ever as well. It was an amazing way for them to win. And, of course, in very, very dramatic Cubs fashion, God, it was a good game. So the Cubs have won the World Series. Let's talk to Matt real quick. Hey, Matt.
Hey, guys. Hey. How are you guys doing tonight?
All right, man. What's going on?
Oh, man. First off, let me just tell you, this is probably the best night of my life. I am so happy and so proud of this team. They have gone through a lot this season. It's been a wonderful season, and it feels so great to just erase 108 years of misery and to call yourself world champions of baseball. The curse is over. You know, yeah. We're not the lovable losers
That's right.
anymore.
That's right. It's all over. 108 years means nothing. Goats mean nothing anymore.
Exactly, yeah. And what I want to say is, first off, I actually did not watch the game tonight.
Okay.
And the reason for that is because I was kind of superstitious, you know, and in playoff games past, I've noticed that every time I watch a game, they seem to not do well or they end up losing. Mm-hmm. And I said, tonight, I'm just going to, like, not watch the TV. I'm not going to turn on social media. I don't even have my phone on. And I waited until about 11:30. And then I finally turned on everything, TV and phone. And that's when all the notifications started popping up and there was all the news and everything. And I'm like, oh, thank you, God.
Yeah.
So it was a huge relief.
Well,
it's
interesting. It's interesting the superstitions that people have. Like, you know what? They don't do well in the playoffs, so I'm not going to watch the game. It seems logical to a fan. It absolutely seems logical. Matt, thanks for the call, man.
You're welcome.
All right, take care. And I was telling Steve Cochran this on the show last week, that there are a lot of superstitions that people have sports-wise. And one of my favorite stories was during the 2010 run that the Hawks were having. I can't remember what series it was. I want to say it might have been Nashville. We were all at my buddy's house. There were like 8 or 9 of us in the room. And the Hawks hadn't scored in like a period and a half. It was a real dry spell. One of the guys goes off to the bathroom. They scored while he was in the bathroom, and we made him stay in the bathroom. We're like, you are staying in the bathroom for the rest of the game. And he stayed in the bathroom for the rest of the game, and they won. It's just that seemed logical to us. It seemed, yeah, I think this guy needs to stand in the bathroom for the entire third period. And he did. He stayed in the bathroom. There was a TV in the bathroom. But he stayed in there. We made him stay in there. He tried to come out a couple times. We're like, get your ass back in the bathroom and stay in there until the Hawks win. And they won. And we were very tempted at one point to it was an away game for sure, because I went to a lot. I actually was lucky enough to go to a ton of home games during that stretch. So I can't remember, but I think it was an away game. And we were at another party, and we were like, well, you're going to have to just stay in the bathroom the whole night. And he's like, shut up. I'm not staying in the bathroom. So anyway. All right, listen. The Cubs have won the World Series, and it is one of the greatest moments in sports history. And in my life as a Cub fan, having been a Cub fan my entire life, this is just indescribably great. So I thought it would be an incomplete celebration if we didn't hear from Ron Santo, who is celebrating in heaven as we know it, up there with Ernie and Harry and Jack, and they're just having a blast right now. And Ron Santo and Pat Hughes, for many years, obviously broadcast here on WGN in the booth, and I used to do a thing called the Pat and Ron Show highlight reel, where people would listen to the game, listeners would listen to the game, and they'd go, oh, my God, you have to play this clip. I was listening to the game, and Pat and Ron happened, and this happened, and it was great, and it was funny. So we collected a whole bunch of these, and these are some of the best. Ron spilled a lot of stuff. He was known for spilling, you know, yogurt machines were on all the time. He was spilling coffee, spilling water. And this is him he spilled something. This is actually the very first Pat and Ron show clip we ever played. This is the very first one, and I would like to credit my ex-wife Heather, who was listening to the game and said, "You have to hear how Ron goes off about what they gave him to clean up a spill." So this is Ron Santo.
Santo devouring an orange between innings. Here comes the 1-1. And it is in there for a strike, 1-2. Maybe it's because Walker got picked off to end the top of the inning, but it almost looked like you were squeezing some fresh orange juice out of
there. Thank you very much. Normally, Patrick, I peel it, but when that strikeout throw out, I just squeezed it and just squeezed it all over me.
Just a little spillage on your pants leg. Not a big deal.
No, not a big deal. There's no doubt about it. I'll hardly tell.
Here's a swing and a foul back by George Piedra. Thankfully, Andy Mazur came to the rescue with a napkin. Well, so you.
I said to Matt, "Do you have a napkin?" He looks around. Normally he does. He didn't have one. I needed one badly. He said, "How about paper? How about paper? How about paper?"
There's a swing and a line drive foul by Piedra. 2-2. 1-1 tie in the third. You mean he just wants to give you, like, binder paper to...
Paper. What's that going to do? But just make it worse.
Here's a stat sheet. Go dry up. Here's the 2-2 pitch down low for a ball. 3-2.
Well, Andy was kind enough to get me some napkins, and now I feel like I'm okay.
As your friend, I should tell you that as you wiped your cheek off, Ron, several chunks of that napkin remained behind. It's not a bad look on you, though.
Oh, no, it's I hadn't shaved, so my whiskers probably grabbed some of it.
Okay, Andy's still here. Andy, Andy Mazur, your personal take on that one?
Yeah, to me, the actual stories were okay, but it was the backstory. The other things that were going on in the booth that would make it, because I remember that now, because Matt would, we used to carry the printer.
Yeah,
on the road we print up all the cards that those guys would read, and that was the first thing that I remember. Matt just kind of handing a piece of paper, thinking, "What's this going to do?"
Oh man,
what is this going to do?
You know, some of my favorite clips, that we're going to be hearing here. My favorite moments are when everybody in the booth is losing it. Like I could hear you, I could hear Judd, or I could hear Boltsy just losing it in the background.
There was one. I remember in Atlanta one night, I very rarely would crack up on the air.
Yeah,
but Pat would actually stole Ron's comb out of his back pocket.
Right, I remember this.
And started pretending like he was going to comb Ron's hair in the middle of one of my scoreboard updates, and I just absolutely lost it. And Pat tried to cover. He goes, "Oh, Andy's choking on a piece of ice." And I had to walk out of the booth. I was laughing so hard.
That's great. All right, Andy. Thanks, buddy.
You got it.
We got more clips coming up. The Cubs have won the World Series, and we couldn't celebrate without hearing a little Ron Santo and remembering Ronnie at this great moment. All right.
Hendricks started this season as the number five man in the rotation for Joe Maddon. He led the big leagues in ERA at 2.13. Up to the number two spot, and in the biggest game of his life, a strikeout for out number two.
Win the Cup, win the World Series. Mark Grace will be long gone. Win the Cup, win the World Series. Lee Smith will still be going strong. Pitching, hitting, fielding, running, everything.
Ah, yes. God, I haven't heard this in years. Dan, did you just...
Fly Jam Bob gave it to
me. Oh, Fly Jam Bob. Yeah, I haven't heard that in years. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. It's an historic morning. Last night, the Chicago Cubs won the World Series. seriously, every time I say it, I get giggly. And we're celebrating that. And, you know, we've been talking about it all morning. You'll be celebrating it all day here on WGN, so stay tuned. And we got more Pat and Ron highlights to play. Let me get Fly Jam Bob in here, who is one of the biggest Cub fans in the world. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Nick.
Cubs won the World Series, Bob.
Unbelievable. when Davis hit that home run, my heart sank. I felt exactly like I did in 2003 all over again. Four outs to go to a World Series.
Yep.
Instead of five outs to get in, it's, oh, man.
Yeah.
I never thought that team was going to make me feel that again.
Yeah. Yeah. It was an incredible game, though, Bob. I mean, everything.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, one of the greatest Game 7s ever in the history of the World Series.
Yes, absolutely.
Yep.
And shame on me that I didn't think they could come back, but I mean, that's their MO, that they did it all year, and that they could do it in that game is fabulous.
Yeah, it was amazing, something that none of us Cub fans will ever, ever forget. There's no question about it.
It's also, you talk about Ross and calling him Grandpa. How about Theo Epstein? I mean, his age compared to you and me, for crying out loud.
I know, man. It's crazy. When I met Theo, I couldn't believe how young he was.
Yes.
I was like, this guy, what is he, 15?
And now he's going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, amazing. Hey, Bob, I know you're a big Cub fan. Congratulations to all of us, man.
Same to you. See you tomorrow.
All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Fly Jam Bob, everybody. All right, let's play some more Pat and Ron. We got to hear from Ron Santo on this historic morning, and I got a ton of Pat and Ron clips here, and let's listen to another memorable one, shall we?
Well, Michael Barrett hitting fourth in the lineup, Ramirez having the day off. He's pulled a little what they call butt muscle, and
I beg your pardon.
Well, that's what it's called. You know, hitters do, when they overswing, they have a tendency to do that, and so now you got Babe Ruth hitting in the fourth spot. He's hit three home runs in 3 days.
Barrett takes outside. I just had never heard that phrase you used a moment ago, Ron. That's all.
It's legitimate. I don't know what they call the butt muscle, to be honest with you.
Gluteus maximus? Or was that the star of the movie Troy? I forget. One ball and no strikes. On Barrett, here's the stretch. And a throw to second is not in time. Well, you always use those scientific terms, Ron. Yeah, I'm sure a doctor would use that.
I use the term that Baker used on the show today.
Okay. The infamous butt muscle clip, as we like to call it. All right. Still celebrating the incredible win of the Cubs in the World Series. Let's hear one more. This is a personal favorite of mine. I'm not even going to set it up. This is just ridiculous. More Pat and Ron.
Well, I got a very unusual facts here, Pat.
Yeah?
Not many that you get like this, but I have to read it. It says here, hello, Mr. Santo.
Ground ball fair inside first down the right field line. Bennett will take a big turn and hold with a single as Jones gets it back in.
And good relay throw there. And it says, I've been wanting to write you for a long while now. I have a problem that afflicts senior women such as myself and wonder if you may be of help. My problem, if of any intimate nature, but since we're the same vintage, I feel you would be understanding.
I can't wait for this one, Ron. Here's a swing and a foul back in the count 0-1.
My problem has to do with, I'm going to whisper, and it is very small letters, feminine itching. Now, I'm not through. I see you baseball players have considerable difficulty with grabbing the offending area throughout the ball game, and that you may have some advice.
Ronnie, I'll see you tomorrow.
Well, I know nothing about the senior women's situation. I do know, and I am a senior man, but as you know, a lot of the ball players are young ball players. And I can only tell you that it's the equipment that is underneath the uniform.
I'll see you Sunday, Ron. Swinging a foul back by Marquise.
In the offending area, and it there's a cuff that you put in your jock strap, and, you know, it can move around a little bit. And that's why you see these players when they're on second or first or even on a mound, you know, grabbing the offending area. I don't think they're itching.
Marquise. Bunning fouls it off, and down he goes.
That's my
best explanation.
So is that where the phrase starting from scratch comes from?
Well, Maggie Gill, I'm sure that, you know, me as a senior person, I have the same problem.
We're all witnesses, Maggie. He does. Here's Miles batting. One away. Here's the pitch. Pop fly on the infield. Left side, it'll be caught by Torres. And there are two down. Fourth inning, 4-1 Cardinals. And the batter is Duncan.
You get a lot of emails, a lot of facts. We solve a lot of problems, but this one's a dirty.
And start some others.
Yes.
Here is Duncan batting. Duncan has homered and hit a sacrifice fly. Well, thanks, Maggie. We needed that good chuckle.
Absolutely, Maggie. And we try to solve a lot of problems up here. We can't solve our own.
I think it would be I think it would be interesting to segue right into this one. I think going from that, we should segue right into this one.
You know, I got a nice email here from Gene Glass, and he was bringing up, you know, he listens to us all the time. He thinks we're a really good broadcaster, really enjoy listening, and he reminded me of that.
Baker hits a fly ball to left, caught by Millage. Go ahead, Ron.
Well, he reminds you of that joke, in which I'll tell you, you know, about if you go to bed with an itchy butt, you wake up with...
Should we maybe finish this in the next inning? Three up, three down at the end of three.
Smelly fingers.
That's what I thought you were going to say. At the end of three, Cubs 14, Pirates nothing.
No wonder they were talking about itchy butts. It was a blowout. That's when it was always the best to listen. Like, it was a blowout on either end. It just got weird. By the way, we are informed that the Cubs have landed and that they are on their way to Wrigley. So if you would like to possibly get out there, there's a bunch of people out in front of Wrigley already. Because I've been watching, you know, the Channel 9 morning news, and they've got people out there, and there's a bunch of people probably haven't even left from last night.
So glad I have half an hour left.
Yeah, so the Cubs are on their way to Wrigley. All right, we got to take a break here. We got the news coming up next, and more Pat and Ron highlights, some really great ones and some classic ones, and we will we'll play them all. We're celebrating the World Series victory of the Chicago Cubs. The Chicago Cubs are the 2016 World Series champions. Oh, my God. All right, we're going to break. More coming up. Pat and Ron highlights.
Zobrist stands a base hit. Cubs will take the lead. Almora digging to the plate. Zobrist delivers 7-6 in the 10th.
Hey, hey, holy mackerel. The Cubs are on their way.
Hey, hey.
The Cubs are gonna hit today. They're gonna pitch today. They're gonna field today. Come what may, the Cubs are gonna win today.
Yeah, they did win.
Hey, hey, holy mackerel.
They won the World Series. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. It's kind of indescribable. To talk about the feeling of being a lifetime Cub fan and knowing that last night the Cubs won the World Series, breaking a 108-year drought. And it's amazing. And we'll be talking about it all day and having a great time and celebrating and just having a great time and sharing memories of all the years of being a Cub fan, and especially this year. I'm going to play more Pat and Ron highlights here. And, you know, I wanted to hear Ron Santo's voice here on this morning after the Cubs winning the World Series. And we love the Pat and Ron Show highlight clips that we've gathered throughout the years. And let's begin this little segment with Ron's experience with miso soup.
I mentioned Nelson Figueroa is from Brooklyn. He went to Brooklyn's Abraham Lincoln High School, graduated in 92. Now that's located in Coney Island. And Ron, I'll tell you, it's amazing the other famous people that have gone to that Lincoln High School. Sportscaster Marv Albert, singer Neil Diamond, former Met star Lee Mazzilli went to that high school, as Derek Lee bats, takes low for a ball.
and the former playwright Arthur Miller. Way back in 1932, Arthur was married to Marilyn Monroe for a while.
Yeah, I remember that. Everybody was married to Marilyn Monroe.
How could you forget? Here's the 1-0 pitch. Swing and a miss by Derek Lee in the count 1-1. I beg your pardon, did you say everyone was married?
Everybody was married to Marilyn Monroe.
Well, she made some delicious miso soup, we understand.
Oh,
1-1, here's the pitch to Derek Lee, and it's down low, 2-1. We were chuckling before the game. We were chuckling. Ronnie was not chuckling.
No, I was not chuckling.
Ronnie was sweating. Here's the 2-1 on Lee. And the pitch. Fastball is in for a strike, 2-2. But we all had some of the delicious soup that Robert Chamberlain, the chef here at Wrigley Field, cooked for us. Had a little bit of an adverse effect on you, didn't it, Ron?
We don't talk toilet talk on the air.
No, Ron had a look of great agitation on his face for a few moments there. 3-2 on Derek Lee.
Agitation, yes. That's a good word. When I broke down the door.
Lee hits a little ground ball back to the mound. Thankfully, this inning is over. Lee bounces back to the mound. Figueroa throws out Lee. Cubs go quietly. Ron wasn't so quiet earlier. At the end of one, Cubs nothing, Mets nothing.
I love that one. And again, I love the clips where the guys are laughing in the background. You can hear Boltsy losing it in the background of that. That's fantastic. Oh, man. Okay, we've got a few more here to play before 5 a.m., and we're playing Pat and Ron Show highlight clips from my collection when I used to do the Pat and Ron Show highlight reel on my show on Sunday nights, collecting all the great stuff that happened in the booth with Pat and Ron. We thought it was appropriate during the celebration to actually hear Ronnie again. This might be my favorite of all of the Pat and Ron clips that we have. This seriously might be my favorite of all. And again, when you listen to this one, listen to what's happening in the booth in the background. I love this one. This is called Shoot the Screamer.
Pat, I got a email, but the gentleman did not. He's from Ellicott City, Maryland, and he's been a Chicagoan for 41 years, and now he's been out there for 18 years, and somebody's screaming down there. They ought to shoot him.
I was like a lead into my CDs about having somebody get shot. Here's a pitch in there for a strike. 0-1.
Well, I mean, that's idiot.
That always sparks a lot of sales.
Well,
here's the 0-1 fouled away off to the left. Go ahead, Ron.
You know, I'm up very much on edge today. I don't know what it is. I think once we win this game, I'll be fine.
It's a new marketing tool.
It is. It gets the attention of people.
It got mine. 0-2 on Fontenot. Cubs lead 3-0 here in the seventh.
Well, this gentleman who is going to be coming back to Chicago eventually, but heard us talk about the CDs, your CDs, and wanted to know how he could get a hold of one. So give him your email address.
Here's the 0-2. It's taken high by Fontenot. I'm letting a little more time elapse before I actually give the website run. 1-2 on Fontenot. Okay, I think it's safe now. It's baseballvoices.com. Baseball. Can't even say it. Here is a chopper foul right side. Go to baseballvoices.com.
Oh, gosh.
Those are commemorative tributes to baseball's greatest announcers, Harry Carey. That's the popular one for Cub fans. If you love the Cubs and you loved Harry and you like to hear highlights and you like to laugh, I think you'll love the Harry Carey CD. It's called Harry Carey, the voice of the fans, baseballvoices.com. That fan has been silenced, taken away. 1-2 on Fontenot.
I love that one so much. I love that one so much. You can just hear, like, Pat's like, I'm trying to plug my CD. You're talking about shooting a guy.
He didn't even miss a beat, though.
Oh.
He was talking. He's like, we should shoot that guy. And then,
yeah, just kept going. Somebody ought to shoot him, and then he just keeps going. Did you hear Bolts losing it in the background on that one? Oh, my God. All right. Well, let's follow it up with another classic one. This was alluded to by a caller earlier. This actually took place in San Diego. You'll hear what happened. There's a guy with a sign in the crowd.
There are some seats right down below us where if fans stand up, they can completely block our view of the plate. And at this moment, a gentleman has stood up, and I cannot see the umpire, the catcher, or the batter. So, Ronnie, take over.
Can you sit down, please?
Three
balls. Can you sit down, please?
Here is the 3-2 pitch on the way to Gonzalez. Fly ball to right. It's going to be caught by Hoffpower, and that ends the inning. We go to the seventh inning here at Petco Park. 3-0 San Diego. We are happy to report that that gentleman has sat down after some gentle persuasion from a certain color commentator.
Well, I mean, it just was ridiculous. Everybody's walking up to him. He'll probably stand up again. You know, they feed everybody down here, and, oh, you couldn't even see home plate.
Could you sit down, please? I don't even know what it means. Well, they feed everyone here. He'll probably stand up again. Oh, man. 765 area code says, Harry and Ron are celebrating tonight. I remember in 1984 when the Cubs clinched in 84, Harry was in the locker room and just wandering around. He was double-fisting. He had two Budweisers in his hand. He walked up, and he was, you know, he comes up, and they're doing it. Steve Stone, I believe, was doing the interviews in the locker room, and Harry just kind of wanders over, and he goes, and Steve goes, hey, Harry, I go, what do you have to say for yourself? He goes, I don't know, but we're all going to get loaded tonight. And then he just walks away. Oh, man. 847 area code says, I'm coming home from work as an ER nurse. I was all alone in the waiting room tonight watching the end, except for a random guy discharged for an STD check. We high-fived when they won. I hope you had gloves on. We high-fived when they won. Is she supposed to disclose information like that to the world?
I don't know who it was.
The guy had an STD check.
Apparently, World Series means you can violate HIPAA laws.
at midnight on a Wednesday, the guy's in there for an STD check. That's great. Hey, only in America. All right, we got a break here. When we come back, we got more Pat and Ron Show highlights here from the past. The Cubs have won the World Series, and we'll be celebrating all day. Well, not even all day, all year.
Here's the 0-1. This is going to be a tough play. Bryant, the Cubs win the World Series! Bryant makes the play! It's over! And the Cubs have finally won it all!
When the day comes for that last winning run, and I'm crying and covered in beer, I look to the sky and know I was right to think someday we'll go all the way. Yeah!
One of the highlights of my summer was singing along with Eddie at Wrigley Field with the Santo kids on stage with him. Yeah. And Jose Cardenal. They brought out Jose Cardenal. Amazing. The Cubs have won the World Series, everybody. I can't believe it. Can't believe it. Oh. Doug in London is a regular listener of ours. Thank you, Doug. He says, we taped the game for my little boys, and they woke up early and watched it, and they ended up late for school. Now I will have to explain that to the teacher who has never heard of the Cubs. That was one of the most memorable days of their childhood. WGN, know that all the Cub fans here in London are celebrating with you. 773 area code says, this is absolutely insane. Kudos to Cleveland for a great series. That's true. That's absolutely true. One of the best World Series ever. Okay, 312 area code says, as a Sox fan, I just want to say you guys deserve it. Great ball playing. Perhaps we'll meet one day. Perhaps. Perhaps. All right. Pat and Ron, we're playing clips remembering Ron Santo on this, the day after the Cubs have won the World Series, and Ron Santo could not be happier. And we love playing the old Pat and Ron clips that I used to play on my show. Ron enjoyed a show called JAG. And I recently, at one point, I ended up talking to Ronnie about it, and he liked it for the same reason that I eventually started watching the show periodically, and it's because of this woman named Catherine Bell. Don't know if you've ever watched JAG. I don't know if you've ever seen Catherine Bell. Hot. And that was basically the reason that Ronnie, he liked Catherine Bell. This is one of the conversations that Pat and Ron had about the TV show JAG.
I think Mannix wore those. Mike Connors. Remember Mannix?
Yes.
Saturday nights right after Hawaii 5-0.
Yeah.
CBS. Here's the 2-2 pitch on the way to Valdez. Fouled away back to the screen. Did you ever watch Mannix? Were you a Mannix
fan?
Yeah,
I watch him. Yeah, I like that.
Seemed like every week his car was going over a cliff. And the next week, he was as good as new.
Yep. And it's amazing you never saw JAG.
Well, I... Never mind. Here's a swing and a line drive. Shallow left. There's a base hit. Soft single by Valdez. And stopping at second is Sullivan. Two outs, two on, and the batter is Pat Mish. But you were a big fan of JAG.
Yes.
Was there a guy with the actual name of JAG on the show?
No. The show was named JAG.
So sometimes they name a show after the name of a person,
yeah.
like Mannix, for example.
Right. Well, this was JAG.
Like, hi, I'm Larry JAG. There was nobody like that. Here's a fastball in there for a strike, 0-1.
There was nobody named Larry.
It would be an unusual last name. 0-1 on Mish. Might have it changed.
Larry JAG.
Is it just me? He was laughing more at the fact that he was like, Larry, someone named Larry.
Yeah, so there's nobody named Larry. It's just so great that it's like, of all the sort of like under-the-radar TV shows, he mentions JAG, that he likes JAG. That is just so perfect. Oh, man. This is the last one that we had from the season. Ronnie's final season was 2010, and he passed away in December of 2010. This is from the final season. This, just listen to how angry Ronnie gets here. And it's about a discrepancy about the height of Sylvester Stallone. Please listen closely to Ronnie on this. This entire thing is about... the Sylvester Stallone's height. Please listen closely to Ronnie on this. It's beautiful.
During the commercial break, Judd Surratt and Ron Santo engaging in a lively debate regarding, of all things, the height of Sylvester Stallone. Sylvester Stallone. Ground ball to short. Glove by Ramirez. Go to second, one over to first. That's a double play. You can tell this weekend series is not having any adverse effect on this broadcast crew.
Well, you know, he came right out and he said 5'8". I says, no, he's not. He's 5'11". He's actually probably 5'10 to 5'11". And I'll give him anything under that. And we can make a nice dinner out for three or four. How's that?
Things getting a little rocky here in the booth. Here's a pitch down low for ball one to Starlin Castro. 7-3 Cubs in the eighth. How many Rocky movies has he made now? Five?
Oh, gosh. He's made, Rocky movies. Just Rocky? Yeah, five, I think.
Here's the 1-0 to Castro inside. The count 2-0.
All right, I've got the official height on Sylvester Stallone.
Well, how do you have it? Explain that to me. Explain it to me.
Here's the 2-0 to Castro. Outside for a ball. Ronnie, you haven't lost yet.
Well,
you might be right.
What, you're going to go on the internet and find it? We'll call. We'll do something.
Do you have Sylvester's phone number?
No. But I know somebody that has it.
You want to have him just stop by the booth? We're going to L.A.
Here's the 2-1 to Castro. It's in there for a strike.
All right, what's it say on the internet?
I'll have Boltsy read it. Five, 9.5. You said anything under 5'10".
So let me see now. I'm doing some mathematics in my head. Ronnie thought Sylvester Stallone was 5'11".
Yeah, but
yes. Judge said 5'8".
Yeah.
The actual figure is 5'9.5". To me, that's right smack in the middle of you guys.
Well, thank you, Pat. But
I thought the wager was you would pay for anything below 5'10".
Did you hear me say that?
I didn't hear it.
Thank you.
Because I have to work with you. Here's a pitch low and outside to Colvin. Ball one, 1-0.
I am going to make sure, find out. Everybody used to say, well, he's, you know, it's almost like, who am I thinking of?
Yo, Adrian. Here's a pitch down low to Tyler Colvin.
Tom Cruise, yeah, very good. Everybody's saying he's 5'7".
He's a pipsqueak.
No, he's not.
Yeah, he is.
No, he's not.
What are we going, double or nothing on him, too?
We'll wait and see. We'll get some emails, and I'd like for somebody that really knows the hype. I'd like to hear somebody from California, especially. Hey. Somebody that knows them.
There you go.
The emails are more reliable than just the internet.
I want to know if somebody from California. Oh, my God, is that funny. He's how do you know?
Oh. It's like the internet.
The internet. And he did say he would buy him dinner if it was under 5'10". He did say it. Oh, man. All right. Those were just a few. I could play these all day long. I have a ton of them here. We have hours and hours and hours of clips from between 2005 and 2010. So we've got 5 years of masterful Pat and Ron clips, and I thought it would be appropriate to play them this morning on the day after the Cubs win the World Series. Troy says it could be. It might be. It is. Cubs win the World Series 2016. Holy cow. They did it for Harry and Ron. Phyllis says, Nick, I listen every night on my way home from work. I skipped work tonight to watch the game. Next year is today. Eileen says, at several points tonight, I had as many heart attacks as Fred Sanford. but they did it, Nick. And how about those Cubs? They did. They won the World Series. And it was an amazing series and an incredible Game 7. And if you slept through it, I'm sorry. You missed history. And we are going to celebrate it all day today on WGN. So, now, Esmeralda, you watched a little bit of the game?
I watched most of it, actually. Yeah. I'm telling you, I was watching. It was like a movie. It was nail-biting.
It could not have happened in a better way. It couldn't have. All right, Dave Plyer is on for the opening bell this morning. Hey, Dave.
Well, good morning.
Morning.
I'm telling you, it was so fun listening to those clips on the way in, man. Thanks so much for doing that.
Yeah, I mean, I've got hours of them.
I love it.
And I thought it would be very appropriate to hear Ron's voice after a World Series.
How perfect. Yeah. How perfect. Where were you, by the way? Where'd you watch again?
Oh, at my house with no pants on.
Well, at some point you had to take them off. I was with the family and we were at Gale Street with Uncle Dean.
Mm-hmm.
And about during the seventh inning, Dean and I both realized we had to get up at 3:00. And it's one of those things where we got up to leave and all these superstition conversations came up as we can't really leave, can we? And we're like, no, we got to get home. We got to at least be at home so we can go to sleep as soon as they win, lose, whatever it might be. And we left, and all of a sudden they tied 6-6. Got very nervous about that.
Mm,
so
yeah. Well, they won.
They won, man. That's all that matters.
And Gale Street Inn, by the way, an awesome place.
Our
great place to watch.
Absolutely.
The best.
Absolutely.
Dave's coming up next on the opening bell. And news is, Esmeralda, I'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
Fly Jams Friday. All right. News is in 8 seconds.